Please open your Bibles, Matthew 7, verse 12. And I want to read another parallel scripture with it from Luke chapter 6 at verse 27. So I want to read Luke 6, 27 through 31 first, and then we'll go back to Matthew chapter 7. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From the one who takes away from your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. And from Matthew chapter 7, just verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Amen. Father, as we read this short but essential text that strikes against everything that we know we are within, we pray that you'll open our minds. Give us new wisdom. Give us fresh wisdom from your written word. In Christ's name, amen. Human relationships are a necessary part of this life. None of us can escape being related to other people. Some of us might imagine a time that we would build a cabin in the mountains and only see a few family people and live in solitude. But we all know that is impossible. That is not reality. As one well-known English poet said, and I'm sure you've heard the quote, no man is an island entire of itself. We have to relate to other people. Just because we are people, and especially because we are believers. And this is not a new question for us. Various religions and philosophers and humanists have set forth ideas and rules and maxims concerning man as a social creature. But it is only in the Bible that we find a true and proper and workable ethic for human relationships. And it is set forth by our Lord in the text that is before us today. Jesus gives us one of the simplest yet most powerful guides for our mutual relationships as those created in the image of God. This, as you know, is commonly called the Golden Rule. And that is what we will consider today. We will look at it under three headings. What does it mean? How are we to apply it? And who can fulfill it? What does it mean? The scribes and the Pharisees were familiar with a form of the golden rule, but they stated it in a negative way. Do not do to others what you do not want them to do to you. While that may be true, it takes on a very limited application, and it has a tone of self-protection in it when you turn it into a negative. And that negative form of the golden rule is not unique to the Pharisees and scribes. Various religions have a form of it. Hinduism especially states it in the same negative way as the scribes and Pharisees did. Jesus is unique in his statement of the golden rule. He states it in a positive way that shifts the focus more toward the well-being of others. I like the way the New American Standard puts it. In everything, treat people the way you want them to treat you. Sadly, the world that we live in follows another principle. Often we have heard it stated sometime with levity. Do unto others before they do unto you. Or sometimes we've heard it stated, treat others as they have treated you. Either way, it misses the point. And in reality, we find that that is the principle that we see in the world around us. Treat others the way they have treated you. Or if you're really aggressive, treat others before they treat you. We find easy examples in politics. Those of you who have worked in the professional world, you have seen it many times. But also, I know that you're not so different from what I am. We have often seen that false statement of it in the midst of our own quarrels and discords with each other. Treat others as they have treated you. Get even. And so our lives revolve around getting even with other people, giving other people what they deserve. And in contrast, Jesus states this golden rule where the focus changes altogether, and it is upon the well-being of others. Jesus gives us a biblical context in which we need to take it, though. Notice that Jesus adds, for this is the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets is a summation of the Old Testament. Elsewhere, Jesus says that loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself is, in fact, the law and the prophets. So to understand the golden rule properly, we must place it in the context of God's word and interpret it by God's word. This simple principle, in fact, brings much that you find in the Sermon on the Mount into a cohesive statement. In short, it means that we in all relationships are to put the well-being of others ahead of our own. That's a powerful statement. That's a strong statement. Take one of the commandments of the moral law, thou shalt not kill. Jesus shows us that that includes hatred of other people. It includes anger, sinful anger toward other people. It includes revenge. It includes even gossip. Thou shalt not. And so as we understand that, we find that we are to repent of killing and gossiping and hatred and sinful anger toward others, even though they may deserve it in the human sense. And instead, treat them with gentleness, treat them with kindness, but also in truth. This is how we are to fulfill this commandment. This is what it means. And Jesus calls us to put ourselves in the shoes of other people and to treat them with the dignity and the kindness and the honesty of those created in the image of God and as required by Scripture. So even as we look at the meaning of this verse, I think we can sense something of the power of it and how contrary it is to our natural responses. So that brings us to our second point. How are we to apply the golden rule in real life, in the world that we live in? As in all the Scripture, we are always to interpret it in its scriptural context, in its proper context. And we understand that this rule, in this context, is not a rule given for the decisions and the actions of God-instituted authority. There are other passages that talks about civil authority, how it is to be exercised, on what basis it's to be exercised. There's other scripture passages that teach us about church authority. This is not the rule for church authority of the session. This is not even the rule for family authority being exercised over a family. No, this is a rule for individual personal relationships that Christ has given us. I like to think of the golden rule as a short but powerful pocket guide for your personal relationships with other people. The proper application is to be informed by scriptural truth. And so in the midst of the hustle and bustle of human life, filled with all of the tensions and the irritations and the conflicts and the changes, Jesus is saying, in effect, here is a quick, handy guide for your interpersonal relationships. And as we look at the verse itself, we find two other things about it. Not only it is a rule for personal relationships, but it is meant to be applied in a very broad context. Others. Others mean other people, other individuals. The golden rule is not just for your family relationships. It is, but not alone. It is not just for your church relationships so that everything will go smooth. But it is for your relationship with those you work with, for those who work for you, for those that you work for, as you relate with them individually. It is for your neighbors. It is for strangers you meet. Jesus even extends it is for your enemies. Here's a pocket guide. A short, concise statement to help you in those relationships. Also, I like the way the New American Standard emphasizes how this applies to a whole variety of situations. In everything, we're told. In every situation of life. Here is a simple, strong, powerful rule given by Jesus to give you wisdom in those relationships. Now, if you think a minute, and you think about this golden rule, as it's called, this verse of scripture, and you start thinking about yourself, I suspect you're not that different from what I am. You feel overwhelmed. Think of all the people in your life that you have to deal with. Some of them you want to be related to, some of them you don't want to have relationships with, but yet you have to deal with them. This is an overwhelming rule and pattern and principle that Jesus gives us here. Well, I would suggest this. A good place to begin is in your home. Husband, wife, parent, children, children, parents, brothers, sisters. Where irritations will come out day by day. Here is a training ground for us to begin to learn the wonder and the power of this that Jesus gives us in this verse. Then maybe you'll extend it out to those you deal with every day. Then think about your church family. Those people that maybe you should think about, those people who don't like you very much, or those people you don't like very much. Jesus believes in realism. He doesn't teach that we're all to like each other, because we don't. Some of us are hard to get along with. Some of us are hypercritical. Some of us are fault finders. Some of us always use positive words, but we don't really mean them. Jesus gives us the infallible principle. How do we manage these relationships? How do you apply it? You have to start somewhere if you're going to heed the word of Christ. Maybe you need to start with one person. Then another person, until your character begins to change and you begin to think and act in a way more attuned to what Christ here gives us. So we see the application to personal relationships, the application to other people, whoever they are, from your enemies to your friends, and the application to the various situations of life that you find yourself in. Now, our final point is this. Who can fulfill the golden rule? As you understand the meaning, and as we begin to understand how to apply it, and we begin to apply it, one thing that we will find immediately is how difficult it is. In fact, you will rather quickly find that it is impossible. It seems impossible to us. Sometimes it seems unreasonable to us. But the word of Christ is the word of Christ. We're faced with our duty. We're faced with this truth that Jesus gives us today, that at times will seem unreasonable in the various contexts of life. So what do we do? We go to Jesus, do we not? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. At verse 3. Reading verse 3 through 8. Philippians 2 at verse 3. Do nothing from robbery or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not after only his own interest, but also the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus' purpose and Jesus' mission was to focus on our well-being. He, being the Son of God, he became man. He took our sins upon himself, not putting his own good first, but putting your well-being before his own. And he has set the example. He has set the path before us. As he is, we are to become. As his mind, that mind is to be in us. We're to think like Jesus thinks about life. When our eyes are opened and we begin to see ourselves as we really are, and you begin to realize that Jesus fulfilled the golden rule for you. He became man. He lowered himself to take our sins. He suffered the penalty for our sins. And now he lifts us up to God. And so we know that the golden rule directs us to Christ himself. And it is only by him that we are changed, that we become like him, that we have the mind of Christ, that we begin to think like Christ thinks. The mind of Christ can be summed up in the humility of Christ. The golden rule presses all of us to look at our pride, because that's the root of our interpersonal relationships problems. But learning humility from Christ, which is the point of this text in Philippians, we begin to fulfill this great and powerful way of life that Christ has put before us. What about you? What about me? What about your family? You know, it's easy to hide what goes on the inside of the family. It's easy to sometimes pretend like everything is fine within the church. But there's envy, there's bitterness, is anger. Christ calls us to search our hearts today. Even as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, to follow the path of Christ by faith, as we trust Him for salvation, we trust Him for life and for our way of life. In conclusion, think of it this way. In heaven, that many of us hope for, not very long distance, the golden rule will describe all relationships. There we will know the beauty and the joy and the peace and the rest among God's people, among the angels, and with God Himself. But God has given you a calling now to bring a taste of heaven into your home, into your church, into the place where you work during the week, even into the angry agitations of human life. As it appears to many of us, our world dissolves into hatred and revenge and destruction. And we wonder what's next. But for us who are believers, we have the privilege. We have the grace from Christ. We have the very mind of Christ to bring a taste of heaven into our agitated world and to show the glory of heaven upon earth. May we do so. Let us pray. Father, we do thank You for Your written word that speaks so simply to our hearts, but such power, such truth. We know it's beyond our human capability. But we know, Father, by Your Spirit and word, You're in the business of changing sinners. And even as we are humbled by our sins, Your grace begins to replace our mind with the mind of Christ, that we might put the well-being of others ahead of our own, that we might heed this simple guide that Christ gives us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.